Our family of churches has a prayer called our vision prayer, and you see it there on the screen. And I'm going to invite you to pray it out loud with me. It begins our God with our hearts. Let's pray this together. It's a heart cry for our family of churches seeking God's fullness in all that they are. Will you pray it out loud with me? O God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Amen. As we come to the table of the Lord, I'd like to invite those who are serving communion today to come and take a place here at the front, please, and join me. Thank you for serving today. And Christy mentioned earlier that there is a gluten-free bread option on the table at the back if you need to access that. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We begin by waiting at the cross. Waiting at the cross. I don't know if you have a supper time ritual. Some people do, or dinner, as we commonly call it now. On the prairies as a child, it was always supper. Dinner was the special thing you did Sunday noon. But elsewhere in other cultures, because we have different cultures right within the greater culture, supper and dinner are the evening meal. In any event, we may have rituals associated with that meal. There might be a time when you scarf down some food so you can get out the door and get to the next event or game or practice. That's the ritual for a lot of families. Or you could have the ritual of talking about the day and how things went, reviewing. Or for some, it might be a time when you watch your favorite episode or the latest episode of your favorite program. When Jesus met with his disciples for this supper, they found themselves in very familiar territory. This supper time recalled an event in the lives of their nation, their ancestry, when God led his people, Israel, out of slavery in a foreign country from an oppressor. And God at that time had told them through Moses to get ready. They were to be ready to travel quickly. They were to each household slaughter a lamb, take some of the blood and smear it on the doorposts and lintels of the doors. This would mark their homes as belonging to God. That night, that Passover night, God sent his angel, and the firstborn male in all of the Egyptian households was lost. But Israel was saved and spared. They belonged to God. The blood set them apart. And as a result of this, Pharaoh of Egypt said, "Get out of here." you're too dangerous to have around. He acknowledged that their God was the true God and overwhelmed all of the idols and gods and goddesses of Egypt. They left. Israel left then on the trip, leaving bondage and moving toward the land God had promised their forefather Abram. And this history was living in the collective memory of the disciples of Jesus as they got together around that table. They knew this history. This supper time didn't happen in a vacuum. It was all very familiar, and it meant something profound for them as a people. It meant liberty. It meant freedom. It meant life. And so Jesus takes this very familiar thing and he reinterprets it for them and explains that this was the forerunner of his story and the center of history, his cross. So familiar that it says in Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Everything they knew about freedom from oppression and slavery and bondage, Jesus is saying, I'm doing this for you. That's what this is about. That's what this indicates. Just as Moses had led God's people out of slavery to Egypt, so Christ is saying, so I am leading you, my disciples, out of bondage to your sinful natures and to freedom in my life. This is the promised land, and this is the bridge to it. And all who receive him, all who repent and turn to him, enter into this life, out of shame into life, from the bondage and desires and passions of the sinful nature to holiness, to godliness, to a life that's rich, that has meaning, and that is fulfilled in doing the will of God, principally expressed in loving God and people, and serving with all the gifts God gives to one. The Apostle Paul explains, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. We belong to Christ, not to our sinful natures. We belong to him. And God's gift of his Son is not an easy believism. It is not just an additional option on top of the other priorities or methods we might adopt to try to better ourselves. No, this is the center, the turning point of life where we turn to him. The disciples knew that their ancestors could not have lived both in Egypt and in the promised land. You can't live in two geographies at the same time. Neither can we live both in the passions of the sinful nature and life in Christ. We belong to Christ. Paul spoke of his experience and said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Been free from that. It's no longer I who live, that old ego, but Christ lives in me. God crucified the old self on the cross with Christ. Yet, as Galatians 5:24 points out, we then take that up by faith, and we crucify the passions and desires, have crucified the passions and desires that would like to mislead us, the old temptations, the patterns, the attitudes, the things that try to control and defeat and really ruin us. We take those to the cross intentionally, and on the authority of the cross, on the authority of Christ's cross, we then have the power to say no to the ungodly passion, to the Christless temptation, to fear, to doubt, to condemnation, to shame. We then have the authority in Christ to say, stop. I belong to Christ Jesus, not to the old sinful nature. Paul wrote this to we who belong to him, saying we have a changed self-awareness. He said in Romans 6, when Christ died, he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. And it says, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. That's heady, isn't it? It is perhaps not what we always or even often feel, because we live in these mortal bodies, we still are subject to temptation, we still face things perhaps that try to haunt us from the past, or fear of the future instead of being Christ-centered. But here he's saying, you also consider yourself, this is your new self-awareness, consider yourself dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ, not to your sinful nature.
Amen.
You who belong to Christ this morning, take this bread. You who belong to Christ, take this bread. It represents our common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for us. Only he could bring us into this place of belonging. Home. Home with him. And so in taking this bread, you are confessing, I am home with Christ. I am home with God through Christ. Perhaps for someone here today, for the first time, light has come on and you've seen, I need to know God, and I haven't known how, but through Christ I may know God, and I may be forgiven, and I may enter into life with God. And so before our friends serve the bread, please pray with me. And this might be your entrance into life with God today. That is what the Holy Spirit is nudging in your heart. That is what God is saying to you. You may pray something like this, Heavenly Father, forgive my sin through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for me. I enter by faith into life with you right now. Come, Holy Spirit, into my life. Change me and guide me and renew my life, for I now belong to Christ and no one else. You who belong to Christ, take this drink. Again, Heavenly Father, with thanks, we come as confessors of Christ. As Lord and Savior, we come as recipients of your kindness, your deep kindness. Your deep kindness which you planned from before the foundation of the world. And expressed and demonstrated through the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who represents your love and truth perfectly in his being, and in his death and resurrection, has called us into your kingdom. By his blood, and through faith we come, and we drink this together in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless us now. Bless us as we continue. We've waited at the cross. Now help us to live in your Spirit. We pray your blessing right now on the children's ministry and those who teach them. We pray your blessing on Pastor Jordan and the team and the youth at camp. Protect them, bless, teach them, encourage them. We pray your Holy Spirit's authoritative word to us here. As we contemplate and anticipate the work of the Spirit in us. We pray for those who lead us in our nation, for our Prime Minister and government, in our province, for our Premier and government, in our cities, for our mayors and councils here. Come, Holy Spirit, with wisdom. Come, with the light of the truth of the gospel. With the good news of Christ go forward powerfully through us, help us, O Lord, that we will be your presence where we live and work and have our being, that we will demonstrate the presence and the reality of Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name. Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? Last week, I drove through the Okanagan. And as you know, when you do that, you go by row after row of vines and fruit trees that are carefully watered, pruned, looked after so that they can be fruitful. And then as we got closer to home and survived the Salmo Crescent Pass, and yes, there's plenty of snow up top, down in the valley again, row after row of fruit trees in the Crescent area. Carefully looked after, productive, someone has to care for the root, for there to be fruit. And similarly, in our spiritual lives, in all of life, God has told us to attend to the root of our lives. We celebrate the cross and how we are no longer in the power of our sinful natures, but belong to Christ. And we weed out the self-centeredness and the sin at the cross so that our lives can flourish in the Spirit of God. We wait at the cross and we walk in the Spirit. Jesus had risen from the grave when the Apostle Paul was writing his letters to the churches. He said in one place in 1 Corinthians, there are still about 500 people around, and most of them are still around, who have seen him living after the cross. It's a pretty vivid testimony. Go ask them. Jesus was alive from the dead. And then he ascended to heaven, leaving his disciples to carry on, but not alone. Not alone. He had told them to wait together in Jerusalem because he would send another counselor to be with them forever, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who would teach them everything, remind them of what he had taught them. The Holy Spirit who would bring conviction to unbelievers of the need to know God. The Spirit would come. And so Jesus told them, you wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And one day, he came. It was a Pentecost day. Pentecost, that celebration in Judaism that happened 50 days every year, 50 days after the Passover. And Jesus had just celebrated that 50 days earlier with his disciples and said, this is my body, this is my blood for you. Now, 50 days have come and gone. Christ had been seen by many, many people. He descended to heaven. He said, wait in Jerusalem. And they were gathered together in one place. It doesn't say precisely what place. And the Holy Spirit came. And creation responded to the move of God. It says in Acts that it was like the sound of a hurricane, or a tornado, or those 100-kilometer-an-hour winds you hear in Warden Park if you've ever been trying to sleep in your tent and the wind is hitting the trees. It sounds like a train is about to come through the tent. That's something like what happened in Jerusalem that day, that sound. And with it, something like flames of fire resting on each of the believers. The natural world responding to the coming of the Spirit. And it says in Acts 2, verse 4, that everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The noise of the wind and the commotion drew a crowd because Jerusalem was filled with travelers on Pentecost. It was like a reunion event in Judaism. Jews who had moved away or whose ancestors had been deported or who had moved away came back for Pentecost, and the city was full of people who spoke many different languages from around that world. It was like Sam Steele days on steroids, with more ancestral imagery and deeper spiritual roots, and people gathered. And the Holy Spirit came. And the onlookers were perplexed because they said, and we hear these people speaking in our own languages. They could hear them in their own tongues, even though there were many, many different languages present. And they wondered what it meant. And Peter who had denied Christ, who said 3 times, I don't know, just to be safe. That Peter, the Spirit of God came upon him and emboldened him with gifts, and he stood up and he explained, this, what you're seeing, is what the prophet Joel predicted so long ago, who said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And Peter quoted more of what Joel said and explained that all who repented of their sins and were baptized and believed in Christ would be forgiven their sins and would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people believed and were baptized that day. I know, just for one thing, that he says in the last days, Joel has said in the last days, and here it is, the last days. Sometimes lately, people have said to me, well, do you think it's the last days? Absolutely. It has been the last days since the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. That is sound scriptural teaching on the last days. So I encourage you, when you see disaster, when you see COVID, perhaps not to use the word unprecedented. That is the term of the entitled, who have had a comparatively easy life. But to say this is not a time for us to say, oh, it's all going to end. This is a time to say, Holy Spirit, fill me again for your purpose in this world right now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to serve, not to run. Not to run and hide from the realities. The Spirit of the Lord came to begin the last days. And there are a couple of things immediately recognizable about the coming of the Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit fills the church to reach all nations. He fills the church to reach all nations. He is on mission to the lost. And second, the Holy Spirit gives gifts for service to all believers, regardless of age or gender or race. He doesn't say, I'm coming upon the church to bless you with gifts, and then say, oh, no, you're a girl, you can't use that gift. Or, you're a senior, why don't you just park your gifts? No.
No.
Or, you're too young. You love the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're too young. No. He is poured out on all flesh for all to serve with the gift he gives you. But it doesn't look like someone else's gift, and that's okay. What would it be like if we all had the very same one? No. And ineffective. An international worker from our family of churches worked in a remote region of South America. It was hard and dangerous, not only because of the terrain, but also because of the risk of standing up for her faith there. One of her colleagues, one of the nationals from that area, disappeared and was found murdered for her faith. It was a hard field. One year she was home in North America on what we call home assignment. She came home, she traveled to churches, she shared her stories, asked for prayers. She attended a family camp, and after one of the messages, she went to the preacher who happened to be Donna's pastor when she was a girl growing up, and said, would you pray for me for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit as I go back to the people that I serve? And he did, and he prayed over her as she went back to her country's service. And as she was there, she and her team began to get new ideas about how to serve these people, how to reach out to them, how to embark on ministry to them when it was so hard and resistant. And the Spirit of God began to work in people's lives. And they began to respond. And the church began to grow and become vibrant. The power, the life of the Holy Spirit, who fills the church to reach the nations. and it fills the church to serve regardless of age or gender or race. How then do we live? How do we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Again, Galatians 5, 24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit fills those who take up the cross. Death to sin precedes life to God. If you care for the root, God will nurture the fruit. The Holy Spirit fills those who take up the cross. Jesus had said that anyone who wants to be his follower must turn from their selfish ways, take up the cross, and follow him in Mark 8:34. And send his Holy Spirit to empower those. We don't give the quarter to the rule of the sinful nature, which still would like to rule, but to Christ. Day by day. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. The Holy Spirit continually transforms Christ's disciples. Continually transforms the disciples of Jesus. Each new morning, each day, we ask the Holy Spirit to refresh us, to fill us again, to lead us, to fill us in our relationships, in every meeting, for each phone call, for each discussion, each task. In the day, come, Holy Spirit. Are you ready to ask God to fill you with His Spirit for your life more? Are you ready to ask the Holy Spirit to ask to work through your life more? We speak often of being Christ's presence. This is the Spirit of Christ whom we need. It is not an upper echelon of Christian experience, it is the normal Christian life which God has prepared for each of us. That is, we enter in life in the Spirit day by day. It is normative Christian faith. Nothing more or less. Life in the Spirit. As a young guy, I was a student. We had a small group on Sunday nights. We didn't call them small groups, but that's what it was. It was sort of like a mini service. We would worship, and then someone would bring a very brief message, and then we would pray together. And one night, the theme was on the fullness of the Spirit. And we were invited just to receive, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I, by faith, did that. Inviting him by faith. Nothing particular happened at that moment. The Holy Spirit may manifest himself in various ways. He may instantly reveal himself in some way, to some sign, gift, or he may not. But within days, I noticed, and the backstory is, I was involved in way too many things. I was leading way too many things to the detriment sometimes of my studies. Plus, I had a certain romantic interest that was taking time, best decision ever. And then I noticed, as I was moving through the days, that things would begin to line up for me. Leadership things would work. People I needed to see would be there. Encounters, connections would be made. It seemed to flow a little differently. Much better, in fact. The Holy Spirit didn't take away every difficulty. In fact, it may be that as you seek to walk in His Spirit daily, there might be some new difficulties. You encounter because someone is saying, oh, you can't do that, we aren't going to try this. You do have an enemy. But the Spirit of God began to work in a new way, in a different way, and He gives gifts according to His will. So here again are those points to remember from today. There are many more. Can't collect everything about the Holy Spirit in a few minutes. But here are some things to keep in mind. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives right now. The Holy Spirit fills the church to reach all nations. He is on a mission. As our vision prayer said, we are on a mission with Him. The Holy Spirit gives gifts of service to all believers, regardless of age, gender, or race. The Holy Spirit fills those who take up the cross. And the Holy Spirit continually transforms Christ's disciples. If you care for the root, God will nurture the fruit and the gifts in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I need the Holy Spirit for these things. If left to myself, I am sadly lacking. I will need His gifts to serve, to delight in. If you care for the root, God will nurture the fruit. Leroy Himes wrote a very significant book about discipleship. He tells of driving from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa, Florida. And he notes, as far as you could see, orange trees were loaded with fruit. When we stopped for breakfast, I ordered orange juice with my eggs. I'm sorry, the server said. I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken. He said, at first I was dumbfounded. We were surrounded by millions of oranges. And I knew they had oranges in the kitchen. Orange slices garnished our plates, he said. What was the problem? No juice? Hardly. We were surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice. Problem was they had become dependent on a machine to get it. Adams says, we're surrounded by Bibles, but if something happened to end Sunday morning worship, many would have no nourishment for their souls. And I would add another application. The Holy Spirit is present and always available. The Holy Spirit is present and always available to fill His people. There is an abundance. The normal Christian life is one of abundance in the Spirit. Those who have come by way of the cross, it's a life of abundance. Power to serve, gifts to serve, fruit. Sometimes we rely on the machine that may mean our own education, our own methods, our own devices, all which could all be good. They aren't the source. He wants to give us more. Or the machine may mean our programming or the way we've always done things that prevent us from seeing the Holy Spirit as more. He is always present and always available. The Holy Spirit comes with fresh grace and power through various means. He calls on us just to ask for His fullness by faith, to ask Him and to walk in His presence. And sometimes we're prompted to seek someone else to pray for us. As that international worker was, to pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. You may choose today to just sit quietly and ask God to fill you. You may want to come. I'll ask the elders now and prayer team servants if they'd like to come and just kind of spread out around the front here. Maybe you want someone to pray for you, for the fullness of the Spirit, or for some other need. Would you come now, please, friends, and just be available to pray. Elders, prayer team folks, come and take your place, maybe spread out along the front here. Thank you. And if you want to come for prayer, I just invite you to do that. Come and receive. Or wait quietly and receive. Let the Spirit of God do the work He wants to do. Don't miss the abundance. If you care for the root, God will nurture the fruit. So you come if you like prayer. We're going to end the service this way. We're not going to sing together. Music will play. In just a few minutes, there will be a video. And that's the prompt for the beginning of the Shepherd's Table time on care ministry. That'll be right over here. That's the problem here. Ministry, the Shepherd's Table, about that dialogue time. But for now, we're just going to spend some time in prayer. If you'd like prayer, you can come and receive. Come and ask. Come and believe. And slip away. Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and give you peace. Spirit of the Lord is still with you. And bless your faith. And lift your heart to anticipate His grace.